Our sermon text for this day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, will be taken from the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to read from chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 21. You can remain seated. And I will try to get through this as I am tired. And when I am not tired, I have a hard time reading. But hey, you got who you got. So we're going to read this in Jesus' name, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, as I said, continuing in Jesus' name. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were all and with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing and mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Amulets, and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Persia and Pamphylia and Egypt and all the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all thee that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven and above, and signs in the earth, blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord to come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of life that is found solely through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you did not leave us here alone, but gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We call out for that Spirit today. Father, we praise and we thank you. As we even said of the gift of life, we thank you for the coming of young Evelyn and, Father, young Jagger. We thank you for the success that both are doing well, both are healthy mamas and babies. But, Father, we will focus right now upon Caitlin and Jordan. Father, they have been blessed with a young, healthy child. And after the endeavor that they've gone through, that they may have a young child in heaven with you, not just an angel, Father, but a child of God, present before the throne, secure in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are able to give them yet another to spend here upon them with earth. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed them with a successful birth. We thank you, Father, that they are able to celebrate and that they are able to behold your wonders, your goodness, and your strength. We thank you, Father, for the courage and the strength that you gave them dealing with young Jet for such a long time. We know that it was not only a spiritual battle and a physical battle, but even a financial battle. We pray that you would bless their young family, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, and allow them to find the peace that only you can give through the power of your Holy Spirit. As we speak of your Spirit, we ask that you would guide us with it today, that you would allow the words that we speak to bring you honor and glory, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, this word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a powerful time this was. This was a powerful time because things were changing. Everything was new. The understanding of the old Jewish ways was fading, and that was a threat to a lot of individuals. There's no doubt about it. Because everything that was familiar and everything that they had known and was comfortable to them was being pulled away and being threatened. And there was ushering in this new power, this new force, if we could say it this way. Because now, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, something extraordinary was taking place. The human being could be partakers of God. That our vessel, in reality, could be made clean by faith through grace, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, by Christ dying for the sin debt of the world, that by faith through grace we may obtain the Holy Spirit. That it may take residence in us. And I think that's extremely important for us to understand. That God is not just some wandering generality, that He's not just out there and just kind of waiting for us to stumble upon Him. But yet He is calling us through His Word by the power of His Holy Spirit and on faith. We are partakers. That we're not alone. When we think about struggles in people's lives, we think about difficulties, or if we hear of someone going through a very difficult time, whether it be cancers, whether it be losing a child, whether it be any other travesty in their life, one of the first things that Christians ask, how do people do it without God? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we would not have to sojourn alone, that we would be encouraged, that we would know and understand that God is not only amongst us, He is with us. The power of the Holy Spirit is not something that I can claim to my own possession, that I can control, but rather that He chooses to dwell with me, with you. That God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. And not just in the aspect of giving His only begotten Son, but has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we would be partakers of God. It's amazing. So how do we face the next trial? How do we face the next issue in our life? We face it in and with God. By the power of His Holy Spirit, to remember that we are not wandering alone, that we're not struggling alone. But even each and every temptation, each and every struggle that we've had, He has tasted. He knows. The day of Pentecost, we often only attribute this to the coming of the Holy Spirit. We think that it's a new holiday that was invented just for Christians. That's not really what it speaks about. This is actually a feast time for the Israelites. 50 days after the Passover, they would come together. And there would be a fasting, and then there would be a feasting. That they would celebrate the fact of what God has done for them. It also indicates, a lot of the rabbinical understanding is, that it indicates also of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. It was a time that they honored very powerfully. And this is why they all came together. This is why we have the text that we have. The people were coming from everywhere to come to Jerusalem to give honor to God for what He has done. What a fitting time for the coming of the Holy Spirit. To see, in reality, the provision of God. To celebrate the provision of God. So they're coming from all around about. And it says that they were all in one accord in one place. And yes, this speaks of the 12, no doubt about it, or the 11. But the fact of it is, it also speaks, if we were to take a look at chapter 1, verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and then it says the number of them, there's about 120, it was all the people that were there. There was a pile of followers that were there. So there was more than just the apostles themselves. There was about 120 people even in this area, in this room. And it's very interesting. This is a packed house. They came together in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven as a rushing and a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. This word house is oikos. It's more of a residential dwelling. So this wasn't a huge place. These people had a desire to be amongst the brothers and sisters. They had a desire to learn, to know, to grow, and they were spending time together. And so this wind, and I think it's very fitting, pneuma, spirit, comes into the house and it fills the house. And it says, there appeared on them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat on each and every one of them. This is where now God turns and He reveals the power of the Holy Spirit to these individuals, and He brings it forth as like this vision that they can see of likened tongues of fire on their shoulders. And you turn around and you look through the history of Scripture and you can find that God is often found by the Spirit in even imagery of fire, purifying, cleansing. But also even the aspect of the tongue to even deal with the aspect of speaking, to bring forth. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. This is a very, very powerful time. It doesn't mean there was literally fire sitting on their shoulders. But it's the imagery that's given that we may understand the fullness of God. But remember, this is even what Jesus had promised them about. He tells them in the very first chapter, He says, John baptized you with water. He says, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days henceforth. And then we're actually seeing this. Baptismo in the Greek. To understand what it means. It means more or less to join together. To join together. And you could use this in a description for dyeing some sort of material like a silk. And you could take this if it was white. And you could take this and put it in a red dye and you would submerge it. And you would actually now make them two products. One. And that's really what it speaks about. To be baptized into the Holy Spirit is to be joined to the Holy Spirit. That by faith through grace we may become partakers. And I think that is a very, very great way of understanding this, because it's not just going to fall off of you. Too many times we have a tendency within our circles to tell people, well, you can be in and out of grace all the time. It's like a roller coaster. I'm in one day, I'm out the next. I'm in one day, I'm out the next. It's garbage. It's not according to my feelings. It's not according to my standings with other people. It is about the knowledge of the finished work of Jesus Christ and by faith through grace receiving that great gift. This is how secure in reality we are. But too many times we're looking to figure out why we're not in. Or figure out why somebody else is not in. Rather than we are to celebrate the fact that they are in. It's amazing as human beings we can be quite negative in those terms. We could turn around and think that our philosophy or our understanding is going to change things. It's kind of like the other day I was in Ironwood and I went to an eye doctor with somebody. And when you walk into the building there, and I know this is off the subject, but I thought it was just real interesting. There's a sign there. And the sign right when you walk in the building says, no firearms. Well, that's a wonderful idea, isn't it? Because we think our philosophy is so brilliant. I'm sure there was somebody that was just desiring to go and take a life that was so demented or so lost or whatever else that they were going to do this, but they saw that sign and they said, well, I can't break the law. When I was a little kid, I still remember this plain as day. I was sitting there thinking about it. When I was a little kid, I had this little brown alarm clock radio. You know, the one that had the old Rolodex kind of flipping things that, you know, showed you the digital time. That was pretty modern. And I remember flipping it over, and I saw on the back there's these great Surgeon General warnings. Not the Surgeon General, but, you know, big electrical volts on there saying, do not open plugged in or whatever. You will get fried. There was a sign right on the bottom of that radio where the screws are. Didn't stop me. I opened that bad boy up, and for some reason, I was probably 9, 10 years old, because it was in my mom's house she's in now, and we moved there when I was 9. And I reached in there, and boy, did I get a jolt. I'll never forget the first taste of electricity. Signs don't always work. Sometimes experience and life events show us what is good and what is not, and we need to stand up for what is good. We need to understand God gives us the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to give us insight, to give us wisdom. He allows this Spirit in reality to form our lives that we may be wiser than what society will tell us to be. You cannot govern morals, and you cannot govern the heart. It is changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were all in one place. They were all dealing with this aspect of wanting to learn, to be together. And yes, there was an aspect of fear, no doubt, of the Jews. But they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues. And this is where Christianity often gets a little bit goofed up. Because then we have a tendency to have a big debate over the gift of speaking in tongues. I don't have the gift of speaking in tongues. I do not belittle that gift. There are certain groups that will tell you you never have the power of the Holy Spirit, or you don't have this, you are not a partaker of the Holy Spirit until you do this. Prove it from Scripture. It's not our tool, it's not our governance, it's not something that we wield, it is not a system to be followed. Is there the gift? Absolutely, I believe it. Do I personally have it? No, you may. But I want us to look at the aspect of what is being done here within this text to understand that this specific gift had a great purpose. It says that they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was not by any man's wielding. It was not by what tradition would tell us. It's not by anything that we could do. It was God operating in and through them. And they were all there dwelling in Jerusalem. It says devout men from every nation under heaven. And now, it says, it was noised abroad that the multitude came together and they were actually confounded and were given the insight of this gift. They were actually blown away because every man heard him speak what? In their own language. God wanted the power of His Word to enter into the most uttermost parts of this world. And that's what He promised in verse 1, isn't it? He says in chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power of the Holy Spirit, and it shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, both here in Jerusalem. He says in all of Judea and Samaria, places you'd never dream of going, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This was used as a powerful tool by God to distribute His Word in the uttermost parts of this world. It had a purpose. It had a great purpose. And they were blown away. They were trying to figure out, how can we all understand this? They were amazed. They marveled. They started talking to each other saying, "Behold, are not these that speak just common people? They're not educated. They're not learned. They're Galileans. They're the general workforce. How do they do this? How do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" They haven't even been there. They don't even know where we're from. They haven't even probably talked to us to find out where we're from. How? God. Remember Him? God gave this ability. God gave this ability that the power of His Word would reach those places. He gives us the same ability that we would be able to preach His Word in truth, in strength and in might, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, that something so foreign could be received by even a dummy like me. Can you imagine that? We pride ourselves in our philosophies. We pride ourselves in our understandings and our signs and our things that we can put up and tell people what to do and what not to do. But God is known by revelation, by the power of His Holy Spirit through His spoken Word. It's amazing. I've met missionaries that have told me straight to my face, "We didn't know any English. When I came to America, where I started to deal with people that speak only English, and God taught me. There was a purpose." God is able to do these things, and God is able to break the language barrier. He is able to break the tradition barrier. He is able to break the system barrier. If we will but preach His Word in truth and in might. They give a description of who's here from all the corners of the earth, really. From Parthians all the way down to Arabia, being in the aspect of even proselytes. It says not only Jews, but proselytes. Converts. Gentiles that were won over to the Israelite way, to Judaism. They even heard. They were all amazed. They were standing there. And they really came to this understanding of saying, what does this mean? You can almost hear Peter in his conversation. Remember when he was able to bring the gospel to the Gentiles? And they sat there as elders in Jerusalem after this was done, and they started to debate back and forth whether they did the right thing or the wrong thing. Peter gave a great understanding of what took place. And then all of a sudden, they start saying, well, this is fair enough. God can do what He wants to do, but we've got to give Him some rules. So we're going to tell them straight out that they really need to follow the laws of Moses. They've got to take care of this business first. And it's amazing because Peter stands up in a bold voice and he says very plainly, brothers, why would we put a burden on these people that we ourselves could not bear? Plain English, Peter says, why are we telling them to do something that we can't do? That is the reason of the coming of Jesus the Christ. Because we couldn't do it. This is just very amazing because now even these converts, they hear, they believe. And it says, when they were listening, they heard Him speak in their own tongues about what? The moral laws of the governance? What the new leaders can do for them? No, that's not what it says. My scripture says, they heard of the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. But then you get this other side of the crowd that has to explain everything away. And what do they turn around? They say, well, listen, these guys are hammered. They're drunk. Because when we can't figure something out according to our morals, our standards, we have a tendency to try to explain it away, to blow it off. Jesse in his flesh would love to do that. Even when it comes to something such as a gift of speaking in tongues. If I don't understand it, if I don't have it, I want to explain it away. I can't. But there is a proper place and a time for it. And it is not a secret code to get somebody in. Paul says very plainly, I have a great gift of speaking in tongues, and I'm very good at it. He says, but to tell you the truth, if there's not someone there to interpret, then what good is it? It brings confusion. I would rather speak five words of understandable language of God's Word than 10,000 unknown words. He says, if somebody has this gift, there must be an interpreter. If there's not an interpreter, then do it alone. Have this gift to yourself. I remember one time when this was starting to take off on the East Coast, very powerfully. It was something that people were getting into, speaking in tongues. And it was either you were in Amway or you spoke in tongues. If you weren't in either one of them, then you didn't count. But the fact of it is that I remember one of my good friends, a relative of mine, came to me and he told me he was somewhere and he watched the speaking in tongues take place. And I asked him, I said, well, what happened? He said, well, this guy got up and he started doing it. And I said, well, how did it go? He says, I didn't understand what he was saying. I said, well, what did he say? I don't know what he said. I said, what did the translator say? Nobody translated. Well, what did he say he said? He didn't know either. Then what good was it? If you read in Corinthians, it says that should not be in a public dismay, because you know what? The people that are coming that don't understand are going to say, you're nuts. It's not my words. Read the Scripture. Is there a place? Yes. Is it a gift? Yes. Jesse doesn't have it. Not yet. But may we have it with God. May be used for a powerful purpose. This was shown forth to bring the word to people that needed to hear it. Peter, after years that they're saying, they're hammered, they're drunk, let's explain this away. He stands up and he lifts his voice and he says unto them, you men of Judea and all of you that dwell in Jerusalem, he says, be this known to you and listen to my words. Hear me. They're not drunk. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. This is a festival. They're coming here to pray. They're coming here to dedicate themselves to God. At 10 in the morning, they're not going to be drunk. Get real. But this is exactly what God spoke, even by the prophet Joel. He said that in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. He will give the gift of the Holy Spirit to all. He will pour it out. Will one receive? I don't know. I can't answer that. By faith through grace. But the opportunity is for all. He says, and your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. And we often take this as fortune telling. Well, they're going to see into the future. Maybe that has a lot to do with it. There's no doubt about it. But to prophesy is to preach. To be a prophet is to be a preacher. So there will be those that will preach. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. He says, and on your servants and your handmaidens, so even the women have a place here, believe it or not. And I say that because often we don't let the women do anything but cook. He says, the handmaidens will pour out in those days. I will pour out my spirit, and they shall also what? Can you imagine what the Scripture says here? That the women will even prophesy. Now, for some of you that are guests, or some of you that, you know, have just come into the understanding, I'm talking more to our old culture where women really didn't have much of a place according to the traditions of men. But I'll tell you, this stuff has changed my heart. Even the women will prophesy. And then he turns around and he starts actually giving great signs here. He says, and you shall see signs and wonders in heaven and above, and signs in the earth, and blood and fire, smoke and vapor. Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? This describes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If we look in Luke, if we look in Matthew, we can see that even for 3 hours that the sun was blocked out. We can see that the earth shook. We can see in parts of Scripture where it says after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that the graves were even opened and they got up and walked. In reality, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was the end. We are waiting for the consummation, the finality of it. But those are deep theological thoughts. But what he really says here and very plainly says is Christ took care of it all. It is all fulfilled in and through Him. And He brings it down to this aspect of, you sit here and wonder, you try to explain away. This is God operating, and what God says will happen and will come true. And He says very plainly, that is important to know, He says, because it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord to believe in Christ, to know Him as Redeemer, they will be saved. May that be our preaching. May that be the word of encouragement that we would bring not only to our congregations but into this world. That every knee shall bow, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He has given His life for you. We are of all people most blessed because we are given these beautiful glimpses of the past, but also beautiful glimpses of the future. Because in Christ we are winners. We succeed. And we are blessed. May we always respect the gifts. May we never demand a gift out of somebody if they don't have it. But may we always bring honor and glory to God in all that we say and all that we do. For He is good. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this insight and this wisdom. We thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit that will just encourage us in and through the darkest times of our life. And also, Father, encourage us in the celebrations of our life. May we always bring honor and glory to You, whether we are in the valleys or we are in the highs. We pray that You would strengthen us, encourage us, that You would be with us as we have a time of fellowship out of Camp Lefty. We ask, Father, that all would feel free and welcome to come there, to celebrate not only the gift of life in Christ, but to celebrate the gift of friendship and family. We thank You for our Sunday school students. We thank You for the teachers. We thank You for our superintendent. We thank You even for our piano players, whoever it may be that helps in any way. May You give us all willing hearts to serve in any capacity. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.